Today we begin a new book from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Book of Deuteronomy, or Sefer Devarim. In this book, Moses gives his final instructions and principles to the people just prior to their crossing over into the Promised Land. We learn much about God's heart for the land of Israel and for the people of Israel, and how they are inextricably intertwined, that their fate and destiny is completely tied up together, the land and the people, that as long as the people are in the land and they are walking in God's ways, there's tremendous blessing and the presence of God is with them. But if they wander away from God and from his ways, then the people ultimately will be ejected from the land. Listen in today as we begin our new study in the book of Deuteronomy. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is August 2nd. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 1. 1 to 15. These are the words that Moses addressed to all Israel on the other side of the Jordan, through the wilderness in the Arabah near Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It is 11 days from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir route. It was in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, that Moses addressed the Israelites in accordance with the instructions that Hashem had given him for them, after he had defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and King Og of Bashan, who dwelt at Ashtaroth, and on the other side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound this teaching. He said, Hashem, our God, spoke to us at Horeb, saying, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Start out and make your way to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in the Arabah, the hill country, the Shephelah, the Negev, the sea coast, the land of the Canaanites, and the Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates. See, I place the land at your disposal. Go, take possession of the land that Hashem swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to assign to them and to their heirs after them. Thereupon I said to you, I cannot bear the burden of you by myself. Hashem your God has multiplied you until you are today as numerous as the stars in the sky. May Hashem, the God of your fathers, increase your numbers 1,000-fold and bless you as he promised you. How can I bear unaided the trouble of you and the burden and the bickering? Pick from each of you, your tribes, men who are wise, discerning, and experienced, and I will appoint them as your heads. You answered me and said, what you propose to do is good. So I took your tribal leaders, wise and experienced men, and appointed them heads over you, chiefs of thousands, chiefs of hundreds, chiefs of fifties, and chiefs of tens, and officials for your tribes. Second Chronicles 32, 1 to 33, 13. After these faithful deeds, King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Judah and encamped against its fortified towns with the aim of taking them over. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come, intent on making war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his officers and warriors about stopping the flow of the springs outside the city, and they supported him. A large force was assembled to stop up all the springs and the wadi, the river that flowed through the land, for otherwise they thought the king of Assyria would come and find water in abundance. He acted with vigor, rebuilding the whole breached wall, raising towers on it, and building another wall outside it. He fortified the Millo of the city of David and made a great quantity of arms and shields. He appointed battle officers over the people, then gathering them to him in the square of the city gate, he rallied them, saying, be strong and of good courage. Do not be frightened or dismayed by the king of Assyria or by the horde that is with him, for we have more with us than he has with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is Hashem our God to help us and to fight our battles. The people were encouraged by the speech of King Hezekiah of Judah. Afterward, King Sennacherib of Assyria sent his officers to Jerusalem, he and all his staff being at Lachish, with this message to King Hezekiah of Judah and to all the people of Judah who were in Jerusalem. Thus said King Sennacherib of Assyria, on what do you trust to enable you to endure a siege in Jerusalem? Hezekiah is seducing you to a death of hunger and thirst, saying, Hashem our God will save us from the king of Assyria. But is not Hezekiah the one who removed his shrines and his altars and commanded the people of Judah and Jerusalem, saying, before this one altar you shall prostrate yourselves, and upon it make your burnt offerings? Surely you know that what I and my fathers have done to the peoples of the land. Were the gods of the nations of the lands able to save their lands from me? Which of all the gods of any of those nations whom my fathers destroyed was able to save his people from me, that your God should be able to save you from me? Now then, do not let Hezekiah delude you. Do not let him seduce you in this way. Do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom has been able to save his people from me or from my fathers, much less your God to save you from me. His officers still said more things against Hashem and against his servant Hezekiah. He also wrote letters reviling the God of Israel, saying of him, just as the gods of the other nations of the earth did not save their people from me, so the God of Hezekiah will not save his people from me. They called loudly in the language of Judah to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten them into panic, so as to capture the city. They spoke of the God of Jerusalem as though he were like the gods of the other peoples of the earth made by human hands. Then King Hezekiah and the Navi Yeshayahu, son of Amos, prayed about this and cried out to heaven. Hashem sent an angel who annihilated every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the army of the king of Assyria, and he returned in disgrace to his land. He entered the house of his God, and there some of his own offspring struck him down by the sword. Thus Hashem delivered Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from King Sennacherib of Assyria and from everyone. He provided for them on all sides. Many brought tribute to Hashem in Jerusalem and gifts to King Hezekiah of Judah. Thereafter he was exalted in the eyes of all the nations. At that time Hezekiah fell deathly sick. He prayed to Hashem, who responded to him and gave him a sign. Hezekiah made no return for what had been bestowed upon him, for he grew arrogant. So wrath was decreed for him and for Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself where he had been arrogant, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and no wrath of Hashem came on them during the reign of Hezekiah. Hezekiah enjoyed riches and glory in abundance. He filled treasuries with silver and gold, precious stones, spices, shields, and all lovely objects, and store cities with the produce of grain, wine, and oil, and stalls for all kinds of beasts, and flocks for sheepfolds. And he acquired towns and flocks of small and large cattle in great number, for Hashem endowed him with very many possessions. It was Hezekiah who stopped up the spring of water of Upper Gihon, leading it downward west of the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all that he did. So too in the matter of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who were sent to him to inquire about the sign that was in the land, when Hashem forsook him in order to test him, to learn all that was in his mind. The other events of Hezekiah's reign and his faithful acts are recorded in the visions of the Navi Isaiah, son of Amos, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Hezekiah slept with his fathers and was buried on the upper parts of the tombs of the sons of David. When he died, all the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem accorded him much honor. Manasseh, his son, succeeded him. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did what was displeasing to Hashem, following the abhorrent practices of the nations that Hashem had dispossessed before the Israelites. He rebuilt the shrines that his father Hezekiah had demolished. He erected altars for the Baals and made sacred posts. He bowed down to all the hosts of heaven and worshipped them. And he built altars to them in the house of Hashem, of which Hashem had said, "My name will be in Jerusalem forever." He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of Hashem. He consigned his sons to the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and he practiced soothsaying, divination, and sorcery, and consulted ghosts and familiar spirits. He did much that was displeasing to Hashem in order to vex him. He placed a sculptured image that he made in the house of Hashem, of which Hashem had said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I chose out of all the tribes of Israel, I will establish my name forever. And I will never again remove the feet of Israel from the land that I assigned to their fathers, if only they observe faithfully all that I have commanded them, all the teaching and the laws and the rules given by Moses." Manasseh led Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray into evil greater than that had been done by the nations that Hashem had destroyed before the Israelites. Hashem spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not pay heed. So Hashem brought against them the officers of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh captive in manacles, bound him in fetters, and led him off to Babylon. In his distress, he entreated Hashem his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed to him, and he granted his prayer, heard his plea, and returned him to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that Hashem alone was God. Romans 15:23-16:9. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whensoever I, Paul, take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. If first I be somewhat filled with your company, but now I go to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may will be with you refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becomes saints, and that you assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for she has been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Great Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Psalm 25:16-22. Turn unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Proverbs 20:16-18. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. 4, 3, 2, 1. I want to speak to you today from our reading from the book of Deuteronomy, and we're beginning the new book of Deuteronomy. And there's a really great introduction and commentary written by Shira Schechter from the Israel Bible. So this gives us a nice context, a background, and a context for the book of Deuteronomy. While Jews believe that all 24 books comprising the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, are the word of Hashem, there is a distinction between the first five, the books of Moses, and the others, known in Hebrew as Chumash, meaning five, Sefer Breshit, Genesis, Sefer Shemot, Exodus, Sefer Vayikra, Leviticus, Sefer Bamidbar, Numbers, and Sefer Devarim, Deuteronomy, are on a higher level of holiness than the rest of the Bible, since Hashem communicated each word of these books directly to Moses. In contrast, the 19 books of the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Ketuvim, the writings, are based on God's prophetic communications to his individual messengers, but are written in their own language. This underscores the idea that Moses' prophecy was unparalleled, based on his particularly close relationship with the Almighty. As the Bible states explicitly, never again did there arise in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom Hashem singled out face to face. Deuteronomy 34:10. As such, the book of Deuteronomy, or Sefer Devarim, marks the conclusion of the Torah portion of the Tanakh, and with it, the end of God's direct word to Moses. It must therefore be mined carefully for its precious lessons. Written in the last weeks of Moses' life, Sefer Devarim is a summary of his final lessons to the people in the wilderness before they enter the land of Israel. Hundreds of commandments are taught or reviewed, some with minor differences that teach important lessons. The quantity and diversity of the various commandments does not distract from one primary theme that is repeated multiple times throughout Sefer Devarim: the primacy of Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. In one of the most beautiful and incisive descriptions, Moses describes the land of Israel as being unlike any other place on earth. For the land that you are about to enter and possess is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come. There, the grain you sowed had to be watered by your own labors, like a vegetable garden. But the land you are about to cross into and possess, a land of hills and valleys, soaks up its water from the rains of heaven. It is a land which Hashem, your God, looks after, on which Hashem your God always keeps his eye from year's beginning to year's end. Deuteronomy 11, 10 and 12. The Israel Bible illuminates the uniqueness of the land featured repeatedly in the book of Devarim, a land where God's presence is fully manifest and where our relationship with him is more profound and more complete. May our study of Deuteronomy contribute to our own deeper love for God and for the land of Israel. And now please enjoy this beautiful worship song, Isaiah 28 and Matthew 11, Rest, from the Bible and Song Project of Love.
Here is a place of rest. Let the weary rest here. Here is a place of rest. Let the weary rest here. This is a place of quiet rest. This is a place of quiet rest. This is a place. Quiet rest. This is the refreshing. Here is a place of rest. Let the weary rest here. Come to me, all of you who are weary, heavy burdens, I will give you rest. This is a place of quiet rest. This is a place of quiet rest. This is a place of quiet rest. This is the refreshing. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Of rest, let the weary rest here. Come to me, all of you who are weary, carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest.
Yevarechacha Adonai Vishmarechacha Yair. Adonai, panavilaka vikuneka Isa Adonai, panav ilaka Vayasein leka
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.